What's up, guys? Thank you so much for clicking on the video. We're appreciating all the support you guys are giving us right now. I'm just here to let you guys know that Maxwell Plumbing, man, they're the go-to plumbing shop around here in Idaho. If you need anything, if you're in Idaho or not, call them. Go to their website, maxwellplumbingservices.com, and they will help you out with anything you need. All right, let's get into it.
Yum, yum.
The shark bite.
I'll make sure to smack
the shark bite.
I want the shark bite on my skin.
Whoa.
What?
Apologies.
Oh, my goodness.
My apologies. Moves phone away.
Save
from
my
me.
Apologies.
That for the bedroom.
Dude, well, this is a bit of a surprise, but welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, being invited back, I feel honored. Didn't expect it.
Oh, really?
really thought you guys didn't like me. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't. It's just really good publicity.
Yeah.
No, we love you. You know that we love you.
I'm going to tell this running joke is like between him and Evan. They're like, we put years in like hanging out with Trace to like earn his phone number.
This was so what happened was in the group chat, cuz he's like, did anybody talk to Trace about part 2 of the Skinwalker video?
Cuz I talked to you about it at the
moment. And I was like, oh yeah, I called him. And he was like, oh, and then Evan was like, yeah, I called him too. And he was like, I guess I'm the only one that doesn't have his number. And so I just replied, I was like, it took years to get this shit. I had to grind for this.
Grind for this.
And then Evan was like, Evan backed that up by, you know how much fucking money I spent.
No, that is a real thing though.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like famous or like a crazy businessman or anything, but like I try to be sparing with who gets my actual number, because social media is so easy to get a hold
of.
Sure,
yeah. No.
And I've had a couple people that have gotten it, like from other people.
Really?
And they'll just call me at the most random times with like the dumbest stuff. And I'm just like, I mean, I appreciate you, but this is why I don't give my number out to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%. I know we already kind of started. Do you want like a water or anything?
I'm sponsored by Dasani today.
Dasani.
Yeah, interesting
choice.
I'm
going to
grab it, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go grab a water.
Can you grab me one? All right. That's cool. I didn't need one anyway. My lips aren't chapped.
My lips aren't chapped. So what have you guys been up to today? What does your Saturday look like?
We went to breakfast together.
Oh, where at? The Griddle or something?
No, we went to the Sunrise Cafe.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right. How was your French toast all the way over there, Hayden? He said it was good. So
when I say worst, I mean like dirty, slutty breakfast items.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I had if you want to get into it. Oh my God.
If you want to get into it. What are you supposed to do with that?
All of them are ice.
Cut it open and just
yeah, all right.
All of them were ice.
Eventually.
So just put it in front of the heater.
There you go.
If you rub it really vigorously.
If I like this or
yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, I get it.
I'm clipping that.
Back to the bedroom.
yeah. Dude, you want to know what I had for breakfast? He had French toast.
Okay.
Six pieces of French toast.
That's a lot.
Housed so really? That shit, dude. Don't even
I was hungry.
And then I had
I fuck with French toast, man.
I had the big biscuit breakfast, which is biscuits, egg, sausage, and gravy, all stacked. And it was good.
Sounds like Sunrise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Reminds me of, you ever been to Elmer's?
Yes.
Yeah. Reminds me of Elmer's.
What's your favorite breakfast spot?
I'm not a huge breakfast guy.
Really? It's the most important meal of the day.
I don't know about that.
not a big breakfast guy. Just protein shake, hit the gym.
Protein shake. Protein
shake.
I'm
just a gym bro now. That's
all
I do.
Yeah. So one could say you fuck with protein shakes.
It's Derek.
Dutch protein.
Derek calling.
Derek's
what's up,
neighbors?
Derek?
What's good?
We're currently live on the podcast with Trace currently.
What do you want to say to the people?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were doing that today.
Don't be sorry. Just come over.
Okay.
Did you hear him?
Well, I was about to head to the shop and drop some shit off and then go to the junkyard.
Trace says come over.
Okay.
Well, he wants you.
At the shop.
In the shop.
Yeah, I was coming there anyway, so that works.
All right, kay. Cool. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Derek sounds down. He sounds sad.
I don't know what's going on with
Derek.
I
don't know. What's going on with our boy Derek?
Group hug time.
Yep.
It is group
here.
Hug. The group hug is him, because he has a large circumference, and I mean that in a loving way.
Jeez.
So anyway, what about you? What's your Saturday been like?
hit the gym.
Damn it.
Only reason I do is you put in your fucking Instagram note. Or no, you post on your story. Oh. It's like, donate $10 and I'll wake you up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym.
I'm actually considering that option. Is that a real thing that I can do? Yeah. Really?
You'll drive like, all
pay me $10 or just be woken up for the gym?
Well, both. Can I give you money to wake me up for the, yes. the gym?
You're going to drive all the way out to Boise?
No, I actually work out with a couple different people from the scene from time to time.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's really cool because some like people get inspired a little bit.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Damn, you were fat, and now you're not as fat." And I'm like, "Thank you." And then you know, I'll say, "Hey, you want to hit up a workout with me?" And then usually we'll get up and go at like 5 a.m. So like, yeah, I've got a few friends that go. I try to hit someone up once a month for a buddy workout.
Really?
And just sometimes twice. Just for like a shake things up, I'll go to Empire Fitness or something.
I need to. I need to go to the gym.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's do it. When I'll be going Monday morning.
I'm down.
Sure. Monday morning?
Yeah.
Wait, where do you live?
Boise now. Oh, or kind of Boise.
We could meet in the middle. We could go to Empire.
Sure.
Might be fun.
Yeah.
Go reconnect with Zach.
Put it on my calendar.
Yeah. Hit up Zach. Zach's coming to the birthday pod party.
When is that? Where is that?
This was our plan. Did you already forget? I told you to.
You didn't put
them
on the calendar.
This is awkward.
So remember your birthday.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And my birthday are in close proximity.
Yep.
So we plan to do the birthday pod party.
Now I remember.
And Zach is coming to that as well.
Sweet.
So.
Okay.
We now have neighbors.
We have neighbors. How's it going, neighbor? How's it going, neighbor?
One of our upstairs neighbors, like we just moved into this apartment. Every time I see him, he comes up to me, just, "How's it going, neighbor?" And just exactly like that. And it's just like, what?
It's actually damn near a perfect representation of how he says it.
Yeah. And I don't want to like make assumptions off of the guy, but.
He's Canadian.
Well, not that.
Oh.
I was going to talk about the other thing, like drives a fucking 2013 V6 Charger.
He does drive a Dodge Charger.
That's so hot.
He is probably, have we checked the registry? No, I do feel like a dick. This has been living in my head kind of rent free, is the fact that I was standing in our door. He was walking up his stairs, and he went, "How's it going, neighbor?" And I fucking panicked and said, "Good," and shut the door. And I was like, "No, dude, no."
Yeah.
He's going to think I'm a dick now. So, yeah. Sorry to him if he listens. He doesn't.
If he listens, yeah, he might, honestly.
Okay. You're in for Monday morning. Does 5 a.m. work?
5 a.m. works.
Okay, that's when they open, so we'll go to Empire.
All right, sick.
And I'll see if I can get us some passes.
Make sure you have the birthday pod in your calendar. Because I want to make
sure. He's like, really?
I know how you work. It needs to be in the calendar.
Yep. What day exactly again?
Were we changing it?
No, I thought we decided January 25th because it was in the middle.
Yeah.
Does that work still?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. I don't know exactly how we're going to frame it yet, but I found an extra mic, so now we can have five people.
I only have four plugs in the board.
We're going to have to make some shit work.
Actually,
we can figure something out. Right. Now he's going to investigate.
It's in the calendar. And so you're not kidding. I literally, it has to be in the calendar.
Yeah, I know. Oh, shit. Water down. But yeah, dude. I just got back from up north.
Oh, yeah?
Yesterday. North. I was up at my parents' ranch up north in Kamiya, Idaho.
Nice.
Probably never heard of it.
Yeah, I have.
You have? Oh, wow. And we were working on a log cabin for 2 days.
Nice.
And, doing some hardcore blue-collar work.
You have this house that you're working on in Boise that we did the water testing on?
God damn it, yeah.
And
I still got to go back to that place.
And this place is like, when was it made? The original place?
The original place is made in the 1800s.
Like what part of the 1800s? Like early?
No, it's like 1850s.
Woo, baby. Yeah. And then they have the original house and then they built over it again. Nice.
Yeah. It's weird because like you can see the original. Everything's open. They didn't even have a floor on it. So you're like, the whole time I did the job, I was there for 2.5 days replumbing the entire thing. And I'm literally stepping on just boards the whole time. Like over the crawl space
and
stuff.
Yep.
But they also have the ceiling gone. They gutted it. and you can see the original roof inside the current roof. It's very insane. But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to bring it up because we were water testing it, yes. And it was starting to get late. It was probably like
that was weird.
8:30, 9 o'clock.
Dark.
And we're like wrapping it up, and we're starting to pack stuff up, and immediately we hear like one of those like 1920s like phones.
Like the actual ring, like on a wall, but outside. It was behind us.
Yeah.
And we booked it the fuck out of it.
We were like, I don't know what the fuck that is, but we're not sticking around to find out.
I'm not answering the phone.
Not time to be in a movie.
Yeah, this is how it begins, and I'm not doing that. Yep. So. Yeah, that was scary. Yeah. Well, I guess the reason that we had you come was, one, because...
You can't just say that.
I might. The reason that we had you come to this place, because we love you, but also because I wanted to show you these clips.
Okay.
So...
Are you going to audio enhance and add them onto the podcast?
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh my God. This is piggybacking off of what?
This is the Skinwalker. This is from the Skinwalker investigation.
No, I know, but like, why am I like?
We wanted your live reaction.
Because these sounds that we're hearing sound awfully similar to the video you showed us on the first
episode.
That's
what I meant. Yes. Just like, all right.
It sounds very similar. So. First, I think in this we're talking about a whistle that was like fucking with us.
And there was
time.
An owl.
And then there's an owl. You hear us go, oh, that's an owl. That's an owl. Like we confirm over here is an owl. And then from this side of us is where the noise happens. And then if you swipe, there's a second clip where you'll hear me, just like in the video you showed us, recreate the sound and it responds. There you go.
Am I going to get scared? Where was this, by the way?
Bogus.
Like, how far off the road?
We went up to the top.
Up to the very, very top.
And then we walked around the backside.
Yeah. Okay, so
backside like of
somewhat off the beaten
path. Yeah.
Off the path.
Yeah.
Off the path.
Oh.
Sponsor.
It only plays it once.
You can run
that
back if you want to hear that one again in your ear, and then you can go to the second clip. Oddly similar, dude.
Little whoop whoop.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Go to the second one.
One second. I want to listen one more time. Because, like, if you're debunking it, it's like, oh, it's just a coyote or something.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know?
But it was weird.
Dude, that's funky. I want to, like, take that to a... I don't know, like a wildlife expert and see if they could tell us what...
My thing that struck me immediately that kind of got me frozen the moment is the whole time we're investigating, all I could think about was the clip you had shown us, and that sound is so similar. Wait till the lights are on.
Ooh!
Yeah.
With three of them?
Yeah.
Three
of them.
Back?
Yeah.
Bro. That's badass.
Yeah, dude.
So, dude, that's wild.
Right after it responded to him, he did it again, and then we got no response.
Yeah.
Dude.
Which was also, like, eerie.
Okay, so even if that was just an animal, it's sick that you, like, talk to it.
Yeah,
right?
Still cool. Yeah.
But, like, I can't think of, you know, maybe, like, elk sound freaky when they're bugling, but that wasn't an elk.
No.
There's none of them up there.
Plus, we would have heard an elk crashing through the
definitely.
Forest.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like the noises we were hearing up there, there was zero sound of anything moving.
Yeah.
But one of the other sounds we were hearing was this whistling. And
the whistle.
Okay, like
was
what kind of whistling?
We can probably pull
you
could
probably find it.
It would be on your phone.
Yeah.
But all of our audio, I haven't gone through the footage yet.
I'll let you go through it.
Because coyotes are like really high pitched.
Yeah, and the weird thing about this whistle was like only like me and Evan would hear it or Riley and Sierra would hear it.
Yeah.
And it was never all of us at the same time.
It was alternating.
And it was moving around.
It was moving around constantly. And so first we tried to debunk it as a bird.
Birds ain't up around at night.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the first like thing that's like a bird wouldn't really be up or like giving away its position constantly.
And like bats just click.
Yeah.
Like you can hear bats
and
click.
And owls have an obvious who because we heard an owl when we were up there. So
So yeah, now I want to like listen to coyotes because they don't. I've never heard them do like a quick like whoop whoop like that. It's always a longer, higher pitched howl. That's crazy.
I don't remember where
like
you
what other animals could that be.
I have no idea. We, like, we sat Evan was really obsessed with that, and we sat and talked about it for, I don't know, maybe like 30 minutes after.
Yeah.
And none of us, we did research, and none of us could find anything like it except for
that video. The clip.
Animals that go. So it's crazy animals that I showed you that.
Yeah, and then we got to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Animals that go through menopause. Why did that pop up?
I don't know. There it is.
Yeah,
that does sound like a bird.
It sounds like a fucking bird.
It sounds like a bird, but this is 11:30 at night.
This is 11:30 at night, and this is weird. So every time, you know the Skinwalker thing, the base knowledge is that if it sounds close, it's like far away, and if it sounds like quiet and far away, it's close.
And then like obviously they imitate forms of wildlife and people. Exactly. Yes.
And so this thing would literally toy with us, especially Evan, because Evan wanted to keep going further. And so we'd go a little bit further.
Don't do that.
And it would sound and it would sound super far away. And then we would be like, oh, we're getting too close. We need to stop. And it's almost like it recognized that. And then it would get louder to make us feel like, oh, it's, you know. And it kept toying with us. And then we started walking out because, honestly, it was all Sierra. She was, like, super scared and terrified. and she took accountability for it. But
you could hear it in the video, too. Yeah. She's like, fuck. Fuck this.
That was her.
that was her.
What I thought.
Yeah. And so we started walking out, and it was fucking following us. And then I don't know if we have this footage yet. I need to go through all of the night vision. We also had that mic, which I haven't heard the audio on that mic yet.
Yeah.
We had
three cameras rolling because we had her night vision. That one was going. And then I have a Sony as well. It didn't have a mic on it, but it was just to see if we could catch anything else.
Yeah. And so I want to go through the audio on that one as well. But the weirdest thing that happened that was like even made him and Evan be like, all right, we need to get the fuck out of here, is I was like, I didn't want to leave yet. So I walked back away from them a little bit, separated myself, and then I started acting. It looked super fucking cringe on camera, but.
And this was, to paint you a picture, we were walking around and there's this camp like down a little ways that people were camping at. So we're walking on this cat track. And then we only start hearing noises as soon as we turn the corner and when we're out of earshot of that campsite.
Yeah.
When we're coming back, we've bended around this corner and we're slightly in earshot of them. And that's when Riley decides to do this.
Yeah. So I split off and walk away from the group a little bit. Again, I don't know if it picked it up on camera yet. But him and Evan and Sierra swear up and down that this happened. And so I'm walking away and I start to like make noises like I'm hurt. Because that's another thing. Like, if something's hurt, it kind of attracts them. And I'm sitting there listening, shining my flashlight around. Well, I start shining down the hill. Because, you know, we're on a cat track. So it's, like, up this way and down that way. I start shining my light down the hill, like, because I thought I saw something. And I'm looking. Don't hear anything. Then all of a sudden, they're flashing the flashlights at me. And I'm like, what the fuck? I can't even hear them. And so I walk towards them. And they're like, dude, did you fucking hear that? And I was like, no. What are you talking about? And they said that they heard a voice, like a man's voice.
Yeah, right? It was
directly next to me.
Yeah, and it was like, so he's like on the cat track, and the cat track's maybe 10 feet wide, and then it banks up and then slopes up, and there was a stump. And that's both Evan and I and Sierra heard it from that stump that's 15 feet away from him.
Yeah. You didn't hear
it. I didn't hear it.
He didn't hear it, so we're like, get him the fuck back here right now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's like a somewhat well-traveled and populated area still. It's not that far away from anything.
No.
Yeah.
So why did you choose that place of all places?
We're kind of just trying to get our feet wet a little bit and just bogus. But two of the stories, I did a lot of research beforehand. I did about three hours of just like deep diving on Idaho-specific stories.
Apparently it's windy
out there. Or pouring, one of the two.
Oh, that's rain?
Yeah.
Is it rain?
Yeah, that's rain.
Some aggressive-ass rain.
Well, we came out of the rain cloud that was coming this way.
It's following us. So. But anyway, Bogus had a couple stories in and around it, and he also had an interaction with Bogus.
Yeah.
I think you already know that story.
Yep.
And so we're like, let's start here, and then we'll go deeper and just from starting, we got the whoops. We got the whistle that was like communicating and toying with us for 20 minutes, maybe more.
Yeah.
And then like you'll have to watch the full clip when we drop the video of the whistling, because that was like communicative. And then the voice thing that they heard. So I felt like it was a good spot to kind of just start out and see if anything happened. And one thing that I learned a lot when I was researching is that apparently it's weird. So I'll explain some of the research that I found. One of the parts was that the Navajo, especially in Blackfoot, Idaho, this guy who actually like revealed the Skinwalker to the nation, he went and stayed with the Navajo and learned a bunch of their secrets, and they said, don't tell anybody about Skinwalkers. They didn't want people to know that Skinwalkers existed, actually. They wanted to hide that. He came home and wrote a book on it, and so, yeah, and so, but they truly believe that there was positive and negative Skinwalkers, and they claimed to him, when he was there, that there were Skinwalkers living in their camp with them, that were positive ones. And so, and they claimed that whatever energy you put out is what you attract. And so I was curious about this, especially when we go for the second investigation, maybe deeper into the forest, was like we went there looking for something negative, like a scary Skinwalker. That's the energy we put out, and immediately got like whatever that was. And I was like, so is it energy based? Is it like whatever, are you actually attracting them? Can they sense that? Like it's very peculiar to me, but
super peculiar, yeah. Because yeah. It's only ever been in a negative connotation to me.
Yeah.
Usually, it's born out of like, oh, this area had a massacre, or you know, this entity is obsessed with a specific person, and mm-hmm. it's like following them.
Some weird ritual happened.
Yeah,
here.
Some ritual happened.
So the coyote one. So this is a story from Twin Falls, Idaho. This guy, he actually wrote a small manuscript and about for his entire life he was followed by a like disshapen coyote creature, and he wrote about it multiple times, and he had friends that witnessed it. Whether he would go camping, whether he would just be in town, like he would just see this thing in random spots. And then one of the like scariest times for him was he was going from Boise to Twin Falls, and his flat tire warning came on. So he pulled over, went around, and his tire was like not flat below. And then he looks up, heard a noise, and he looked up, and he said that in his headlights, about 100 feet away, was the coyote just staring at him. And so he pulled out a .22 pistol and started like shooting in the air and screaming at it. And it started, he said that its smile went from ear to ear. Coyotes can't do that.
That's like the most Slenderman ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he said that it was smiling more as he got crazier, and that it started walking towards him. And so he actually ran into his car and drove all the way back to Twin on the flat tire because he didn't want to deal with.
Yeah. Bro, I ain't getting out.
Yeah.
Talking to that guy.
Yeah. So that was from Idaho. There's a story from Bogus. His story from Bogus. Blackfoot, Idaho.
There was the one in the like Hidden Valley area.
The Hidden Valley area. So there's
or
another
Hidden Springs. Sorry.
Hidden Springs. Yeah. So there's another story, which you can actually is another weird thing. So there's one story from Hidden Springs where this guy had a really close encounter with what he claimed to be a Skinwalker, and then we could see Hidden Springs from where we were.
Yeah,
we could see the light of Hidden Springs before we made the full corner and we were getting deeper into it. So it was like we were in proximity. So that's kind of why I chose that spot, because Bogus was there, Hidden Springs is there, and there seemed like activity there. Where I would like to go next, but I don't know if the whole squad would want to make a day trip to drive up there, is Blackfoot, because the Navajo, that's where the Navajo lived. They were kind of the heaviest believers in this. And Blackfoot, Idaho has so many stories of Skinwalker experiences. And then another spot that we could go to that's not as far is the Sawtooth Mountains. So one story that I said in the video, so that people will have already heard, is that this group of people went camping in the Sawtooth Mountains. They went on a hiking trip. And they hiked up to this place. They set up camp. And one of the friends, there was two of them in hammocks, and four in a tent, and four in a tent. So 10 people total.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And one of the guys in the hammocks started screaming, like bloody murder scream in the middle of the night. It's like 3 or 4 a.m. And And the other guy in the hammock was like, holy shit, what's going on? So he goes to check on his friend, and his friend is like a grown-ass man, just like fully broken and like bawling and screaming. And he had had a horrifying dream of something, like of him being in a car, and or him running from something, then getting in a car, and then this thing was like this, he said this big, like, skin, like, disfigured figure was trying to get in the car, grabbing at the door handles, banging on the windows. And then he said he closed his eyes for a second, opened them again, he was still in the car, and all of his friends that were on the hiking trip, heads were on sticks around the car. And then he woke up screaming. And so...
I would too.
Yeah, bummer, dude. He calms his friend down, and he says, okay, it's just a bad dream, like, we're in the wilderness, it's fine. Calms his friend down. They try to go back to sleep. He can't sleep because he's thinking about his friend's dream. Then they start hearing screaming from one of the tents. They go in the tent. That person had the same dream. And then it was like that. It boom, boom, boom. Slowly, everybody had the same exact fucking dream. So then they all grouped together around the campfire location. They said the fire wasn't going, but they just kind of gathered around there and realized that there was 9 of them, not 10. One of their buddies was missing. So they're trying to find him, and they realize that he had gone to the bathroom and then couldn't find the camp, and so he just went to the car and was sleeping in the car. So they went over to the car, and when they got to the car, they found him clutching a flashlight, shaking, his eyes wide as fuck, and like so scared that he wouldn't even open the door for them. And so eventually one of the friends gets the like key to the car, I guess, and unlocks it, and they get him out of there and start talking to him. And he said that something was walking on the car, pulling on the door handles and banging on the windows.
Nice.
After they all had the stream. And that was in the Sawtooth Mountains, which is only about 3 hours from here.
Oh yeah.
So
I've been I've spent a lot of time in those areas as well, especially with like work travel now and stuff.
Are you familiar with the Sawtooth Lodge then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time around the Sawtooth Lodge.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's kind of up where it is. Sawtooth Lodge, up above the lodge a little bit, there's a hiking point.
Okay.
And they hiked from there. So
nice.
So yeah. So that was the Idaho story. So I want to go farther and deeper for part two for sure. But that was where I felt like with all the stuff in Hidden Springs and Bogus, that was a good spot.
Dude,
to
just
start.
To go out for your first time to a place like Bogus, not even far at all, and hear some stuff like on camera is wicked. Yeah. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's I've like just like you, I've listened to a ton of Skinwalker stories, you know, some real, some not. I think one of the more plausible ones I've heard, and it's also kind of, you know, freaky.
Yeah.
Is like park ranger stuff.
Okay.
And so a guy who is a park ranger is telling, you know, from when he was a teenager, and he and a friend, you know, just happens to be an Indian friend, of course.
Yeah.
He and an Indian friend, in wilderness, he wouldn't say exactly where it was, but based off the story, I would assume it's the Pacific Northwest, you know, either Washington or even like the Sawtooth area.
Yeah.
And, so there was a main camp where they had some trailers and stuff.
Yeah.
That everybody, that everybody was, all the families were staying at.
Yeah.
And they kind of wanted to do their own little like camping deal. So they went like 100 yards away.
Yeah.
Set up their two little tents, set up a campfire, and they were sitting at it at night. And granted, like I said, they're teenagers. So like 16, 15 ish. And he, let's see, I think, I'm trying to remember what the orientation was.
Mm.
One of them was sitting with their back to a river, like a slow moving section of river. And the other one was sitting facing the river.
Okay.
And they were both around the fire. And the one that was facing the river saw something across the river.
Okay.
Standing up.
Yeah.
Like a man.
Okay.
And kind of, you know, kind of just like, what?
Yeah.
Why is there anything out there?
Exactly.
It's middle of the night. It's across, you know, there's just wilderness over there. And like the longer he stares at it, he notices it has like antlers. And so it's, he thinks it's like a deer standing on its back legs.
Huh. Yeah.
And then he says the deer slowly starts to like wade into the river, still on its back legs.
Holy
and like
shit.
Walking towards them.
Yeah.
Super slowly. And they were like off the river a good 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like looking quite a ways.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's going to get to them quickly.
Yeah.
but they're, he's freaking out. So that's how it was. He was the one that was facing, and his Indian friend was facing the other way. And
hold on.
He's
already.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Okay. So he starts mentioning it. He's like, hey, there's something across the river.
Yeah.
And his Indian friend doesn't acknowledge him. He just keeps talking as if everything's okay.
What's up, guys? I'm sorry to stop the podcast, but I got to tell you about Maxwell Plumbing. They're truly the best service for all your plumbing needs, and they're doing something pretty special. If you don't live in the Idaho area and you have something that you really need help with, you can give them a call or go to their website anytime, and they will help you and walk you through the problem you're having so you can get trusted help from the professionals. If you are in the Idaho area, they have the best service around, and the prices reflect their immense integrity. So please give them a call at 208-890-9301 or go to their website, maxwellplumbingservices.com, and let them know Off the Path Podcast sent you.
What's up, guys? I just wanted to stop the podcast for a quick second and talk about SNR Magazine. It's super, super sick. Like, it's something that nobody else is doing in the Boise car community, or really anywhere that I've really seen. And the guy who puts it together, super awesome. And they support us. We got an ad in their magazine, Off the Path ad, and I think it's just the coolest thing ever. And I think their magazine is the coolest thing ever. It's a new way to kind of engage with car content, and I think it's super sick. So make sure you go follow them on Instagram at SNR Magazine. Check out their magazine. Order it when it comes available. They go quick, so make sure you get one and make sure you're on top of it. But thank you so much to them for the promotion and love that they've shown us, and we just want to show some love back. So make sure you go follow SNR Magazine.
What?
And he's like, dude, there's something wading into the water. We need to. And the Indian guy just keeps, like, doesn't even acknowledge, like, nothing's going on. Whoa. And the thing makes it all the way up and is standing on the beach on their side. So now it's like, you know, could get them potentially if they wanted to. But it's still dark, so it's not super obvious what's going on. Yeah. He's just terrified that anything is out there with them.
Yeah.
And that his friend's not acknowledging it at all. And he said eventually, you know, he kind of took the cue from his friend and just started having a normal conversation too. And the thing, like, one of the times he looks up, it was gone. Like, he stopped paying attention to it. He's just staring at the fire, and when he looks up, it's gone. And so he asks, you know, they get the hell out of there. Yeah. They get all their stuff packed up and get back to the main camp. And he asks his friend, you know, like, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you? Yeah. He said, you know, my uncle or my grandpa or some relative that he had that was also an Indian, but a little more connected because he was older. You know, said, hey, if you ever see anything like this or hear of anything like this while you're in the woods, just don't even acknowledge it. Just do not even act like it exists.
Wow.
And so that's what he was doing.
Gotcha.
While the ranger was pissing his pants.
Yeah.
So
that's insane. Yeah. Dude. That's crazy. Yeah. I found that was the thing that was like when I was researching that I was getting curious about is like, there's some stuff that hinted towards like ignoring it as well, and I was like, so if it really is just kind of how much energy you put into it or what type of energy you put into it, what are you looking for? Like, I was like, do we go into the second one also still looking for something scary, and or do we go into the second one with a different energy? Because I was like, the scary stuff is cooler, but
everybody wants to see the scary stuff.
Yeah,
I know Evan wanted to go back to Bogus.
He wants to go back.
I think you should try Bogus one more time before you go deeper into another. Like, you have something there.
Yeah.
So don't go try a different area when you're already, like, like I said, first time out, there's people that go 20 times. You know, like all these Sasquatch guys. Oh my God, we're going to find something. And it's like episode 30, season 5, you know, of their Sasquatch show. Yeah. And they've got.
And they hear a twig snap. And they're like, oh, shit. Yeah.
So, like, you guys, that's, I mean, again, could maybe be debunked pretty quickly by a wildlife expert. Yeah. So you might find one and check with them. But, like,
the thing is, though, even if it is, like, making, even if it is, like, a wildlife noise, like, they've been known to mimic wildlife.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, I feel like there's never a definitive, like, oh, that, yeah, no, that was just a
unless
coyote.
We
like,
get something on film.
But again, the fact that you talked to something out there,
the fact that it was responding,
is, and that it matches with that other video from California.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And the whistle, I really want you to watch the entire whistle clip. Like I said, it's about 20 minutes. It'll it'll be in the video. Because the whistle was also responding to Evan. Evan was whistling back, and it would like it would time. It was either timing it very well, which is weird, or or like Evan would whistle, it would whistle back, and then if we were silent for a long time, it would like whistle like
make sure we're still there.
Yeah,
kind of
almost
thing.
Like an upward inflection.
Yeah, like whistle,
hello?
My friend.
Yeah,
I have something for you.
I want to show you something.
Yeah.
On the you've snowboarded up there, right? Or skied or anything?
No, actually. Oh, really? No.
So like the backside, there's a lift that comes down, and like as you're going along the cat track, is it does this because you have the runs and then like spots where there's trees at, and so we were almost to one of the like ups that would put you on the run that has the lift, and I know Evan wants to go all the way to the bottom of the lift.
That's right. You know our plan for Trace was?
Send you so and Evan down there.
Evan really wants
why
to,
us.
Evan really wants to go all the way down to the lift alone and just sit on the bench in the lift while we're up the hill and then see if anything happens, because the whole rule is you're not supposed to separate. And so I was like, well, Trace wants to come for the next video. We'll just send you both down there. but obviously you'd have to be okay with that.
Sacrifice.
But we have to sacrifice the two best looking ones.
The best.
Yeah. Which is you and Evan. So, no, but yeah, so we want to, I think we want to do the second one again at Bogus, but we want to go farther in. But the weird thing, one of the parts of the research that I found was that it'll play on your curiosity almost. It'll amplify it. So, and it kind of will manipulate it. And so the one thing that freaked Sierra out a lot, because I told them all this knowledge before we even drove up Bogus. I was like, if you get really curious, like you really want to go somewhere, that's probably manipulating and amplifying that. And Evan was fucking hyper-focused on the lift. He was like, we got to go to the lift. We got to go to the lift. We got to go to the lift. And I was like, I don't know if we should.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, that's definitely a thing, getting people to go off into the woods.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's for a noise or, you know, sounding like a relative or sounding like themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all kinds of weird stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep. So, we need to set a date for going back.
Yeah, we do.
But,
because, we did this the week before we moved. And so then we were like, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it next weekend, and then we're moving.
And so yeah.
And the weather's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should probably do it soon. So Evan wants to turn this, we haven't really announced this yet, but Evan wants to turn this into at least 6-month series.
Of Skinwalkers?
And he wants to do videos at least once, I think it was once a month.
Yeah.
Or I think we said 10 videos, so not exactly once a month, not exactly 2 a month, but
I think 10 videos. You got a really good opportunity to maybe make a little 20-minute documentary. If you do the anthology, not the anthology, but if you just do the series of your podcast, but then kind of supplement it with the footage that you have, some interviews, some legit interviews on site,
so that's
from people that work there.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool
stuff. So I have several buddies that have worked up at Bogus, and I want to talk to them. I was talking to one of my close friends that worked up there, and he hadn't experienced anything, but he told me that he had coworkers that experienced.
Yeah, so you need to get all those. You could have your own little Skinwalker documentary.
So
up
that was kind of Evan and I's idea, and Hayden's idea, was that we wanted to kind of turn it into something a little bit more. Obviously, it's not going to always be plugged into the podcast, because sometimes we just have a guest. It's nothing about that. But we wanted to do a little bit more with it, and I was thinking we could do 10 episodes, and at the first, we'll kind of just start out by we're just investigating. We're just kind of we went to Bogus and we heard some stuff. And the second episode, we'll go a little deeper. But I want to get some interviews going. I want to talk to people. Evan and I even talked about we want to go to the reservation in Blackfoot and see if anybody will talk to us. It's usually hard to get them to talk to white people. But I was but Evan and I were if we just do the whole
I have spray paint.
Okay. We just do the whole iPhone voice recording in the pocket and go in there and just be no cameras. We just want to ask some questions and stuff like that and see if we can get anything from them. Obviously, I would love to reach out to a couple people that have told these stories on Reddit and everything and see if we can get them to maybe even just voice call and talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to do exactly that. I want to expand it into something. And then after all 10 episodes is out, I'll compile all of them into one long ass video and just call it Skinwalkers the movie, and then upload it something like that, but upload it as one.
You know he's gonna title it Skinwalkers the movie.
I know. But one long form 3-hour fucking massive investigation that people could watch in one sitting or a couple sittings or whatever. But that's my ultimate goal with this, and I'm really fucking excited about it.
Yeah, if you start finding more stuff, I mean, you can go full on missing 411
Good.
Style.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm really curious. Evan is, like, hooked.
he's hooked.
Because at first we were going to do a ghost video, because Halloween, spooky. And
this
then,
is spookier than ghosts.
Definitely. And I was like, and that's what I pitched it to him as. I was like, this is a little spookier than ghosts. We could go up to Bogus and investigate. And he was like, when I first called him about it, he was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to. He was terrified.
Yeah, so it's better than ghosts.
Yeah. And then he called me back. He was like, yeah, let's fucking do it. Let's do it. And so we went, and I told him all this research. And he was just like, and then we came into the podcast to talk about the video. And he was just like, so interested in asking me questions, and I was like, I don't even know the answer to that yet. And so he was like, we should do this, we should get to the bottom of this. And I was like, yeah, dude, absolutely.
Yeah,
let's make it a thing. So as much as you want to be a part of it, obviously you have open invite. We definitely want you there for our next investigation.
Cool.
So because you showed interest, so I was like, sure, go on out.
Yeah, it's something I've read about and listened to stories most of my life too.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Yeah. But yeah, we want to eventually, the two places we want to go as far as travel is, because we don't want to keep it all here, we want to go to Blackfoot and again try to talk to some people, and then like that would be probably the beginning part of those two videos is talking to people, and then we go out and look, and then we want to go to Utah.
Oh, of course.
And he wants to try to get, like, on Skinwalker Ranch. I was like, that's such a high fucking...
That, and there's a whole History Channel thing on it right
it's
now.
It's like,
anyway,
one, Skinwalker Ranch is literally guarded by security.
Yeah.
And two, it's a very touristy area already.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think you have a better chance of seeing, like, a UFO than you would have maybe having a Skinwalker experience.
Yeah, but...
Which would still be sick.
Yeah. We want to go to Utah, and then he has this spot...
in Nevada.
Is it Nevada or Colorado?
I'm pretty sure it's Nevada.
Nevalorado.
I guess it's probably Nevada. It's a camping spot that him and his dad have gone to a few times. And he said it's super, super, super remote. It's literally...
You hand me my phone.
Is this yours?
Yeah.
ours, look at this. They look the same from the front.
My brother and I are the same way. We grab each other's phones all the same.
But anyway... It's the spot where he said it's literally a super remote mountain. It's really hard to get up there. He said you either need a very, very souped up like Jeep or crawler or a souped up side-by-side. They've taken like souped up side-by-sides and nearly not made it. And he said it's super remote. And when you get to the top of the mountain, the very top of the mountain, there's a little lake just sitting in the top of the mountain.
That's cool.
And he said that all the way up there, you know, the super remote area is super hard to get to. They find arrowheads everywhere. And so he was like, he is kind of obsessed with this spot. I guess he feels a little drawn to it. So we wanted to go there as well. Maybe go out there, rent some side-by-sides, and then crawl all the way up there and do an investigation, which I think would be sick to take a group of people on that one.
Yeah, some like, GoPros.
Yeah,
and
like I think you and...
A couple DJI minis for those roller shots.
There you go.
We've got a Mavic 3 Pro we can throw up.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I think we should take you, obviously Evan Sierra, my girlfriend Hayden, and then I was thinking we could get one more person. There's quite a few people who have reached out to us who are super interested in all this. So,
well, as soon as you start making media about it and like release a couple episodes, people are going to come out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, we want to go do that trip. And that one's, I think that one's, I'm even more looking forward to that than like Utah or Blackfoot because again, everyone feels weirdly drawn to that place. And I'm kind of like, I kind of piggyback off his energy every time he's talking about it. And I'm like, and I start feeling drawn to it. And I'm like, I feel like there's something out there for us to find.
You know what another spot that would be fun is?
What?
That I have personal, experiences with, is Craters of the Moon.
Oh, really? What are your personal experiences?
So, I have one, and it's not that exciting, but my parents have two, and they are kind of cool, kind of unique. So, the areas, I've camped there once to watch the auroras earlier this year. It was badass.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Very cool camping spot, literally middle of nowhere. Just dirt road to get out there. And it's just a cool setting because, like, there's nothing like it. In anywhere in the vicinity.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
easily.
It's very unique. And it's super rugged terrain. I mean, I can't imagine I don't think there's anything I can think of that could just go over that terrain that's man-made.
Not at all. I've been down. My dad has taken me down in like some of the little caves and stuff. That's like that's such an insane landscape.
It's absolutely like, you know, craters of the moon. It's otherworldly. And then on top of that, on top of an already, you know, active area geologically, on top of an Indian, you know, an active Indian area with history, you have INL, which is the nuclear testing facilities all over the place out there. So you have these three layers of just the craziest stuff.
True, true.
The first town ever powered by nuclear electricity.
Yeah.
Like just insane.
I don't know if you know all this stuff.
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude.
So Arco.
This is in Idaho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know where Craters of Moon is. Okay.
Yeah, so Arco is the first town ever powered by nuclear power.
Gotcha.
In the world.
It's literally Nuketown, bro.
Yeah. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And it's just there.
Are they still powered by nuclear?
No, no. Oh, okay. No. Well, I take that back. I don't think so. But there are still multiple reactors that are active out there.
Gotcha.
As well as military testing facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a museum that you can go take a tour of one of the older reactors, and I've done that. Super, super cool experience. Like, they've got it all, like, cut away so you can see inside of it, you know, and all the control rooms and everything. Yeah. Super fascinating. But anyways, so all of that is out there, just sitting in the desert. And I've driven through there many times, middle of the night, middle of the day, you know. I don't know how many times for work and stuff. And I'm always like scanning, looking like, okay, am I going to see something in the sky? Is it going to be something weird? and the closest I've ever gotten was a light, you know, up in the sky, unexplainable.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy though. Wasn't moving too fast. Wasn't doing anything weird. Just like, that's not a plane.
Yeah.
That's not a satellite. Yeah. That, like, what is that?
You know?
And then that was it. My parents, on the other hand, back in the early 2000s, when we lived in Montana, they would drive through there, you know, between Boise and Montana, a good amount. And, the first thing that happened was back when you had those little disposable cameras, you know, with the and they take them to Walmart and get the photos developed. They had signs that would say no photography allowed.
Yeah.
But my parents took photos of the desert and stuff. And they were like, oh, this is really cool. Craters of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And, so a couple of the photos they took were in areas that it said no photos allowed.
Mm.
And when they had the photos developed, they received the packet back of, like, you know, 52 or whatever the shots, the shot count was. And there were two photos missing. They only got like 50 out of their 52 shots.
That's weird.
They were just gone. Like,
what the hell?
Yeah.
And they're not getting these developed at like the Walmart by that area or by that town. They're getting it in Boise.
Yeah. And they just didn't get the photos back.
Huh.
Like super,
super weird,
weird, like unexplainable. Yeah. You know, did they just not develop?
Yeah.
Did the employees know?
Yeah.
And how, if so, how would they have known?
Yeah.
So super unexplained. And my parents aren't like, you know, they're not embellishers. Yeah. They're not liars. They're very even keeled people.
Yeah.
The second thing was one night they were driving, you know, like 2-3 in the morning, one of those trips. And, off in the distance on one of the hillsides that's close to the road, they see it's as if it was the middle of the day out there. Light everywhere. Lights, tractors, equipment. They can see people kind of walking around.
Yeah.
It was the middle of the night, but that hillside was like on fire.
Yeah.
Not actually on fire, but that's how bright it was. And so they're wondering what is going on, you know, and they're going to be traveling back through the next day. So they're going, okay, we have to remember what hillside this is and take a look at what, are they building something? Are they making a road? So on the way back the next day, they look at the hillside and nothing had changed. Nothing was different. It was like nothing was disturbed. There wasn't a road. There wasn't a building. There wasn't a construction site. There weren't tracks.
Dude.
There was no equipment out there. Just one night it was an industrial site, and the next day, nothing.
What the hell, so, dude?
There's a couple of weird things
we might
that have
to go
happened
to Craters
out there.
Of the Moon.
Yeah, there's some odd stuff out there too. So
that'd be cool for the, you know, because you kind of like warm up the video. It's like a slow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we could do like the tours and go to the museum and whatever, and then go like look around the Craters of the Moon in the day, and then go hit the desert in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then I feel like we could see some shit out there. Arco is such an insane like town. Like the stories of Arco is really, really crazy.
Yeah.
And I was kind of obsessed with him when I was a kid, but I wasn't old enough to like fully understand like conspiracy and like and supernatural and all that stuff. And so now that I am, I'm like, you just reopened a can of worms for me where I'm like gonna be obsessed with Arco again.
Yep. Yeah. Every time I drive through there, I'm looking around.
Yeah.
Like, what am I gonna see?
Yeah.
Please, I want to see something weird.
Please, please.
And driving through in the winter when it's all foggy and snowy.
Yeah.
Is super creepy.
Yeah. I've been through there once in the winter. The town's weird. There was a restaurant. So there's a restaurant there.
The pickle place.
Is it the pickle place? Whatever it is, it's closed now. I don't think the pickle place is closed.
Probably not the pickle place.
There's a restaurant that my dad and I stopped at like three times.
I think Derek has just arrived.
And they had, he can just walk in, I don't care. And they had,
his own key.
Oh, they had like amazing finger steaks or something like that. And one time my dad and I were sitting in there, we were sitting right next to the window because we just wanted, he wanted to see the motorcycles. we were on motorcycles, and he, like, every time we go somewhere on motorcycles, he's like sitting where he can see them and keep an eye on them.
Yep.
And so we're sitting right next to the window, and we're as close to the road as we can be. This restaurant is only like 10 feet off the road when you're kind of going through the town. And so we're sitting right up next to the window, closest to the road, and all of a sudden we hear like screeching, like tire screeching, and four black Tahoes, and then two military trucks, and then four black Tahoes fucking rip through town. I mean, like, fully ignoring the 20, like, it's like 25 miles an hour in town, right?
Yeah,
they're going at least fucking 50, 60. Just fucking boom, 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 haul through town, and then they make a corner, and it, just like out of the movies where they like all turn at the same time, they're just like, and then boom, and then fly off. And I just turned to my dad. I was only like 13 or something like that. I was riding on the back of his motorcycle, and I was just like, Dad, what was that? And he's like, I have no fucking clue. Yeah, so there's some shit going out in Arco, dude. Yeah, I don't know.
Definitely.
I don't know what all goes on out there, but something.
Yeah.
We can welcome the boy Derek to the pod, kind of. He's not actually going to get on, I don't think.
Hello. He has arrived with exhaust.
Ah. Bro has an exhaust.
Yeah, why do you have a Focus ST exhaust?
Damn it, how did you know? Why is the Focus ST exhaust going on Scoob?
It's not.
Oh, okay.
Damn. Why
what
not?
If we do
quad tips, no, but with those tips?
It'd be quintuple
tips. They're cool-looking tips, honestly.
You have a great-looking tip on the exhaust. It's my speed wax.
Yes,
yeah, it's fine. I haven't really been detailing. I'm back in the construction business. I am constructing.
Lord, he constructing. How you doing, Derek?
Are you going to wave at least to the camera? They can't hear you.
Sup?
Just his hand.
Just a hand.
exhaust.
Focus ST.
Just covered me with exhaust.
I really want them to bring back the Focus. Make a super, super high-performance track version to
Fiesta
battle, like...
Fiesta RS.
No.
We need a Fiesta RS, because I don't want to pay for an R5.
You guys need to let me cook. It's a super track-focused version. It's going to battle, like, the Type R, probably better than the Type R. It's going to battle, like, everything else that even they think is good.
I'm sorry, do you think Ford can build a better hot hatch than a hot
Listen. Yeah. Listen to me. They can, but listen. They need to call it... It's going to be based on the Focus ST.
Okay.
And they're going to build the shit out of it. They're going to make it insane. And then they have the Ford Mustang GTD. So it's only right that they call it the STD.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was waiting.
Yeah.
I was going to say that if you didn't.
Yeah.
Just a Focus ST with a diesel.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean,
I would
be down
that.
For that. Yeah.
I would not.
What do you have against diesel cars?
The only thing they could do that would be worse than what they did.
I like diesel
I'm
cars.
Just kidding. The 2-liter EcoBoost, I couldn't break that engine.
I know a lot of people that could. I was going to say
I've broken a lot of engines. The 2-liter EcoBoost is not one of them.
Uh-huh. 2.3
is a different story.
Yeah. No, that's... I broke a 2.3. I broke a 5.0. I broke a... MT-82s don't count.
Yeah. They come broken from factory.
Yes, that was...
The MT-82 made in the same factory as the PS2
probably. Yeah.
Yeesh.
No, but I think a Fiesta RS would be sick.
Yeah.
I think so, too. Yeah.
One, there's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, only if it's all-wheel drive, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be so much fun. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Throw like the... I mean, it, let's see. They could probably fit the 2-liter in it pretty easily, which would mean it would have 250 horsepower, which is more than they came with front-wheel drive. And then you could tune it up to 300 really easily.
Yeah.
And that would be pretty fun. That'd be a pretty fun little car. And probably weigh like, what, 20?
My Fiesta was a little over
27. Yeah, so all-wheel drive, they'd probably be like $3,000.
Yeah.
$3,000, 300 horsepower.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty fun.
We just need a slightly less aggressive body kit than this.
That is,
and I would buy it.
Yep. I think they should just make those for the street, dude. I want to buy a fucking Gymkhana car so fucking bad. That's where I'm at. Yeah.
Several million?
Yeah. I was going to say the R5, I believe, is like a $300,000 rally car, but it's like ready to go. So it's not like.
What if we are going on an R5?
I'd rather have that bagged Aston that was on my story.
Yeah, I know you're obsessed with that thing right now. Why don't you just buy it? You're rich, dude. You got so much money.
Yeah, okay.
You got so much money from doing all these huge events, remember? You're so rich.
Okay.
Yeah, no, if people knew
the battles that I've had financially, they'd probably cry for me.
Yeah.
You do. Derek does know.
Yeah.
But I'm coming on the up and up. I'm about halfway through the struggles.
There you go.
So
I think I'm quarter of the way.
No, you
no.
Yeah,
it's gonna start with the gym on Monday. we are gymming.
We're going. He and I are going to Empire.
Yeah.
5 a.m. He's paying me $10 to wake his ass up.
Yep. Exactly. This is actually true. Huh?
I'll still go to the gym with. I need to just post that on my story because there's. I was telling them I have a lot of friends now that reach out and, bro, we should hit the gym sometime. I want to get back into it. So maybe I'll just post that on my story and say like, hey, get on.
Car meet at the gym.
Get on my gym list.
Being
fit is in again.
15 fucking people in the rotation for one.
For one.
See, what Zach should do is he should host a car meet for people that want to actually work out. People come,
dude.
With their
you do
car.
It in a heartbeat.
They work out. Well, listen, and then he
someone
does like
Zach, gets Zach on the phone right
he
now.
He does some giveaway, and for every 10 reps is an entry. So they actually have to work out to be there. They don't. They can't just come there and hang.
TikTok pull-ups.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
That'd be
cool
pull-ups right now, dude. I was working on them so hard over the summer.
Trace is like, I can only do 40.
Dude, I suck at pull-ups.
I suck so much.
I can only do 200 last time. I'm so bad at it.
Pull-ups are hard, man.
I have a hot question for you.
Oh, okay.
Because, well, I came into this podcast with one topic on my mind.
Skinwalkers.
And then, no, it wasn't Skinwalkers, unfortunately. And then we invited you, which I'm very happy about, but then we've only talked about Skinwalkers, and I haven't gotten to the topic that's very pressing on my mind.
The hot question.
Politics.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about politics?
He's like, please?
I listen. Okay, so this is coming from, I just fresh off of listening to... the Joe Rogan Trump podcast, because I was curious about what he was going to say. And yeah, I came out about as fucking red-blooded as you could be out of that podcast. I was like, fuck yeah, America, Trump 2024. Yeah, so
I haven't listened to it, so
he hasn't listened to it.
So what's your question?
I don't know. Who are you voting for?
I'm just gonna say this just to help your viewership.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say Kamala, because
Kamala.
When people say Kamala or Kamala,
yeah.
A lot in their media,
yeah.
Meta likes to pump it up.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
Let's go, Kamala.
Kamala
Harris.
Yeah,
2024, dude. You're gonna get a million views,
dude,
on this
easily.
Now.
Yeah.
Most views you've ever
what
had.
What the fuck does box. Derek have?
Derek has a box. Okay.
Nope. As usual, down to choosing the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, so you know,
dude, okay. So Trump actually genuinely made me laugh. Like if you can just take away the politics of the situation, he's really fucking funny sometimes. And he was on the podcast and he was talking about this candidate that he ran up against in 2016. And he was like, Joe Rogan brought him up and was like, when you debated him, what did you think about him? And he goes, well, the thing about him, he was He was actually quite stupid, really. He was very stupid. He was a stupid son of a bitch, really. He was very stupid. I was like, holy shit, this is the president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, guys? I just want to take a second to tell you about Maxwell Detailing. That's my detailing company, full disclosure. And we started up a couple months ago, and I've been personally detailing for 5 years. It's my passion, and I love it. And I would love to take care of your guys' cars. So Maxwell Detailing, or Maxwell Detail Co. on Instagram. We have a website. It's MaxwellDetailCo.com. You can go on there and get a free quote. Just book a detail right off the bat. See a little bit more about the company. So please come and book a detail. We'll make sure your car gets taken care of and gets detailed the right way. Maxwell Detailing. Thank you.
Another thing that I wanted to update you guys on real quickly is the Caliente show. We've been pretty hard at work behind the scenes, making sure that everything's going to be perfect. And there's been some delays, as there is with anything that you want to have like a high production quality. So stay tuned. If you're excited for that show, don't lose hope. We're 100% making it happen. We're working with Uncultured. And so that's what this is about. I want to give them a shout out. They are super awesome to work with. Uncultured Co. Obviously, you know those guys if you've watched the podcast at all. And so shout out to them and stay tuned. The Caliente show is coming, and we're really excited about it. It's going to be super awesome. Peace.
Yeah, and then later in the episode, Joe Rogan asks about Kamala, and he just is like a fucking red-blooded frat kid who just never grew out of it.
Oh boy,
he's like, so what are your genuine thoughts on? I don't know, I can't do a Joe Rogan voice. But he's like, what are your genuine thoughts on Kamala? What do you think about her policy and reality? It's like, well, what I really think about her is she's actually really brain dead. She has nothing going on up there. She actually has no thought process at all. She's actually very dumb, very, very stupid.
Oh my God.
She can't even talk. You hear her talk, you hear her interview, she can't even answer the question. I answer the question. I always answer I think I'm the best at answering questions.
Very classic Trump. That's about, yeah.
Yes.
Jeez.
But dude, it was pretty funny. I just look at it from a comedy standpoint most of the time, because I think I have to take everything that way.
Yeah, that's kind of the U.S. politics situation right now.
It's like a funny, very big funny comedy show.
Yeah, it's a huge
it's
comedy.
A bit of a joke.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I was trying to think. There's another really funny moment. Oh my God, what was it? Kane does love silly dudes.
All right, calm fucking.
Okay, this is the last thing. So Jordan was asking him because he was on that TV show, The Apprentice, before he became president.
You mean his TV show?
His TV show.
Oh, I was like Joe Rogan went on Trump's TV show?
No, sorry, Trump was Trump's TV show, The Apprentice.
Yeah, okay.
15 years.
Yes.
Or 15 seasons, sorry. And
you fired.
What?
You're fired.
Yeah. So he had the TV show, and Joe Rogan was like, did they ask you to come back? Or when you started like getting into politics, did they just cut the show? And he was like, and you know, a sane person would probably be like, no, they really liked doing the show, but I wanted to focus on politics. Of course, it's Trump. So he's like, that was the best show. They didn't want to lose the show. They loved me. They kept asking me to come back. But honestly, I think I'm a bit too famous for the show now. I'm, you know, when you run for president, you are just a little bit better, And I just didn't think I could do the show anymore as the president of the United States.
Okay, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
That is valid. Like,
yeah,
having
just once.
Once. Thank you. No, again.
One again.
There we go.
It would be hard to watch the president be on a reality TV show.
It would be hard.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, like,
imagine like he's supposed to be running the country and he's on a reality TV show. Like, yeah. You're a pussy.
Like, maybe saying I'm too famous is not the correct verbiage, but
yeah.
At least saying I'm a bit above that. You know,
yeah. That's yeah.
Reality TV saying, is like, child's
you
play.
You don't have the time for it anymore.
Yeah,
you've got other
he was talking about. It was really interesting to me when he was like, when you get into office, you have to make 10,000 appointments immediately upon stepping in office.
10,000 appointments?
10,000, no, like appointing people to positions.
Oh.
Yeah, you have to make 10,000 people into positions.
10,000 choices?
As soon as you step into office. And he was talking about how he was from, like, the actor business world, so he didn't know politicians. And so he's like trying to choose people, and he's just like, he was just calling his friends and being like, do you know anybody that would be good for this position?
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
Yeah. But one thing that was actually genuinely interesting to me in the conspiracy world is he was talking about JFK, and he said that he had a quote from like 2016 when he got into office that was like, he said something like, if you saw what I saw in the JFK file, the public would lose their shit. And so yeah, I think he said mind, but he said that he said on
Cursing
Joe Rogan's
for
podcast,
no reason.
Yeah, he said on Joe Rogan's podcast that he his first day in office, if he wins, he's going to make the entire JFK files public.
Well, let's vote for him.
We need the conspiracy.
Oh God!
He talked about Area 51. He talked about Area 51. He genuinely talked about Area 51 on Joe Rogan's podcast because he was like, "We can wrap it here if we want." But he talked about Joe Rogan. He talked about Area 51, and he was like, "Because Joe Rogan was like, have you been read into the UFO?" He was like, "Yes, I've been read into the UFO program. Not sure what to think about. I don't know if aliens are real. Honestly, I have no idea what they do at Area 51. It's a very mysterious thing."
You just, it's so hard to even know what they can and can't say, what is and isn't a lie.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no, yeah.
There's no idea.
There's no way to know.
Yeah. We're all doomed.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's, you think that was good? Do you have anything?
This was an accidental 30-minute notice.
It was. I just really wanted to talk about...
That was you, only.
Yeah. I just really wanted to talk about that, because I thought that was hilarious to me. Like, this is the guy that's going to probably maybe be the president of the United States. And he's just on there like, he's a stupid son of a bitch. He is. I was just like, is that what you want, though? Do you want just a guy who's like, fuck him? Or do you want a politician?
What I want as a politician?
Yeah.
What you want as like a politician is a genuine fucking person.
He is genuine. I don't think that's possible. He's very straight up. He's one of the boys. He's like, that guy's a stupid son of a bitch.
The more, like, I wanted to join the military when I was younger, right? Okay. A lot of people did. Like,
sure. You told me. Yeah, you told us about that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but realizing, oh, you have to be, like, you have to be in to get up. And that sounds weird.
You have to be in.
Or you have to get in to get up.
There you go.
Sometimes you have to push.
But like watching at my buddy's military graduation where he told me he shot just as good as the general's son did, but the general's son got the award.
Yep.
And it was like right there. And I was just there to watch the graduation. I obviously hadn't joined up or anything. And I was like, oh my God, it's like a good old boy's business.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you don't have the connections, you're not going up. And it's the same exact thing in politics.
It's connections and money, dude.
If you're not sucking dick, if you don't got the money, if you're not, like, that's how.
Yeah.
You just, to get to that point, you have to do so much that is wrong.
Yeah.
As bad as that sounds. And the more that I got to know politicians closely, the more that I got to meet high-level people closely.
Yeah.
A lot of them are good people, you know, like there was nice to see like, oh, you're not a total piece of shit.
Exactly.
But a lot of them are terrible people.
Yeah.
That will tell you anything you want to hear to further themselves.
Yeah.
And they love talking about themselves.
Definitely.
And unfortunately, like those are the people that get up.
Yeah.
Those are the people that go high are the ones that are
they
self-serving,
just kiss ass all the time.
Kissing ass.
Yeah.
They are putting other people down to pick themselves up. Yeah. Like there's just, it's savage.
It's, and I mean, I think a great example of that, whether you agree with some of the stuff he says or not, is like Donald Trump. He wasn't a politician. He just had a lot of money. Like you can buy your way into this shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people do. I feel like there's a lot more buying into it than.
Yeah. I mean, he tapped into the right customer base and bought his way into the election and bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, so that's all that to say, like, sure, maybe I could be president and maybe I could do a good job, but I know that is not possible because of the things that I know I would have to do to get to that point.
Oh yeah,
are just like sickening.
Yeah,
and I know that's how it works.
That's funny because I know you're professional enough for it.
Well, thank you.
No, I do. I think when you're in a professional like setting, I've seen you work. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Uh, I try to take. Yeah, he's amazing.
Handle stress,
I said,
amazing.
I saw him be professional. I said, "Wow, he's so professional."
There's no one more professional than him.
Yeah, he's one of the best at being professional, besides me.
There it is.
But no, I tried to take notes, but I'm not great at. I'm great if it's a genuine business conversation. But like the podcast is just such a fun thing that I have a hard time like not just having fun with it.
That's the point. That's
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So, fuck. I don't remember where I was going to go.
I know. You asked me what I would genuinely like as a president, and it's just I would like a good person to be president.
Yeah.
But that's
not going
to
happen.
That was me saying like a good person cannot make it to be president in today's world, in my opinion.
I don't think so. I think you have to be pretty ruthless to get there, which is like. Yeah. We're just not coded for it, boys. We're just not coded for it.
Yep.
What if we stage a coup?
Okay, well, that sounds difficult.
Yeah,
I watched Valkyrie the other day. You know, the Tom Cruise movie where he tries to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
And, dude, knowing that this stuff actually happened back in the day.
Yeah.
And people risked their lives and their families' lives for something they believed in. Yeah. As a kid, you watch that stuff and you're like, yeah, get the bad guys. Come on. Yeah. You know, but then as an adult, you're like putting yourself in their shoes, and it's terrifying to think. Imagine if the U.S. was like that, and we right now, you know, we had little satellite groups around the country, and we were all working together to try and stage something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is terrifying. Yeah. Knowing that you could have your door blasted in the middle of the night, and you could get taken away to the gulag.
Oh yeah, it's insane, dude. It's the thing. Like,
it's like I always come back from the gulag.
Dude, I've never lost the gulag, actually. I've lost so many times. I think I lose every time, but I know. But anyway, the thing is, to me, like, I've heard people try to like compare the Revolutionary War to like stuff that has gone in other countries, and I was like, I understand that, like, America fought for their freedom. Like, they didn't want to be taxed anymore. They didn't want to be religiously held down anymore. And I get that that was probably, to some extent, pretty terrifying for them and when they were fighting back. But I was like, to me, it doesn't compare at all to, like, what was going on in Germany and, like, other places in this world. Like, it's a lot.
I also just think about, you think about war back in the 1700s. The, like, now it's just baffling because, like, before it was like everyone stood in a line, you all got together, 3, 2, 1, shoot, and whoever wins wins. And it's like, and then America was like, yeah, fuck that, we're gonna hide in the bushes. Like, why would I just stand out there and let you shoot me? No, I'm gonna shoot you from back here where you can't hit me.
I want to meet the guy and just hear his philosophy in a funny way of the guy who is like in America, who is like, we've been shooting back and forth for a long time. What if we just fucking dropped a bomb on them? what if we just end this?
Wait, are you talking World War II?
Yeah,
he's talking World War II.
Oh,
that was a big jump.
Yeah, it was a big jump. But like, I think it's funny how like it progresses.
Oh yeah,
like it was like there used to be something like gentlemanly warfare. Is that, what am I saying? Gentlemanly warfare. Like, and they were very proper with it, and it was very, like, structured. And then at some point it just turned to, like, how can we
America
fuck over the other people as much as possible? Like, how can we fuck with their heads? True.
Well, I mean, the biggest question mark is who's willing to take out civilians?
Oh, yeah.
There's a big difference between killing other armed men on the opposite side and saying, this is going far enough. It's time to kill civilians.
To
get our point across.
Yeah.
Like, that's the real.
What are your thoughts? This is a pretty broad question. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, genuinely.
Oh God.
But we're kind of
like clip.
I know. I'm gonna clip the part where I was like, "What president?" And then you say Kamala, and I'm just gonna cut it. Just let the internet deal with that.
Million views.
But but anyway, what are your views on like Pearl Harbor and how he reacted to it?
I mean, from an American standpoint, it's pretty cut and dry. Like, that was an uncalled for attack.
Yeah.
100%.
They blew up our boats, man.
Yeah. Like, have you guys visited Pearl Harbor?
Mm-hmm. I've not visited. I really want to.
It's pretty sobering, yeah. Like, to be there, mm-hmm. And to see the space and imagine that happening, mm-hmm. while, you yeah. know, while you're there.
Yeah.
Granted, it was a military base, but a lot of people did die.
Yeah.
Who didn't need to die.
Yeah.
And so I think it was a huge mistake on Japan's part.
Yeah, big time.
A massive mistake because we were focused on Europe.
Yeah.
From what, like, I could be completely wrong, internet, I'm sorry. But
no,
from what
I
understand,
I've done a deep dive.
America had just figured out how to get boats to Europe.
Yep.
You know, that's the front that we were focused on.
Yeah.
And everything was fine. And then Japan was like, Pearl Harbor. And we were like, all right, world. I think that was a mistake on Japan's part. And they deserved, I'm not going to say anyone deserves to get nuked, but the retaliation leading up to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that, to us taking the islands, moving towards them to their home front. Yeah, 100%. We had to start beating them back once that happened.
No, I saw there's like there's a history.
What the hell is that? That's the worst retaliation.
There's a history, like a YouTube history channel that I loved as a kid. I still love because I think it's hilarious. But it's called Oversimplified.
Oh, I know that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's so funny. And
what cracks me up?
Hold the on, war for quick. Idiots.
Yeah. What cracks me up is it was like Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Declared war on us because we weren't in the war technically. We declared war on Japan, and then Hitler out of nowhere was like, "We declare war on you." And he's like, "He's tied with Japan, but at that point they're not like super connected."
Yeah, there's a, just there's like, there's a bit in the oversimplified video where he breaks down the like Pearl Harbor to our decision to the Hitler jumping in, and it's funny because it's like he like acts out the thing. So it's he's like. He has like these little characters he animates, and like there's the president, he's sitting there, and then a guy comes in and he's like, "Sir, Japan just hit Pearl Harbor," and he's like, "Who?" He's like, "Japan." He's like, "Who the fuck is Japan?" and then he's like, "I don't have time for this newcomer or some shit like that." And so, And then he goes, and then he like gets back into his commentary voice, and he's like, "It was at this point that Hitler declared war on America and stuff, and decided to back Japan." And he's like, which he kind of shot himself in the foot with that one. And then it's like a break, and he goes, "Just the foot for now."
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, but Oversimplified is an hilarious channel. Yeah.
No, I
But he's hilarious. He actually does give a lot of information.
Yeah.
He does it in a really like oversimplified funny way. And that video is I kind of again deep dived Pearl Harbor after I watched his video on it. Cuz I was like, I found the same thing. I was like, we didn't even care about Japan. We were just like, they're being kind of weird, but we don't care. We're going to focus on Europe. What's going on in Europe? We're going to get boats to Europe. And Japan was just kind of like,
yep,
poke, poke, poke. And then America was just like, I don't really give a fuck anymore.
We're going to start rationing. Yeah. You know what that means.
Yeah. What I think was interesting, the thing I was kind of touching on is a lot of people have a hard time with the severity of what we did to Japan after Pearl Harbor. I personally don't. What I have a problem with, though, I will say this, and this is not me trying to be like some woke fucking pussy. No. What I do have a problem with is how we treated a lot of just anybody Asian, honestly, in this country after Pearl Harbor. Because there was a lot of really, really mean, horrible things that we did. I mean, we put some of them in concentration camps, literally.
Like in New York and stuff, there was like straight racism happening.
Yeah, and I was like, what we actually did and in Japan, as far as the bombs go, I don't really have a problem with that.
I mean,
it's a hard topic to get into, but I do kind of have a problem with how we treated people that were already here, had nothing to do with it, had nothing to do with the decision making of bombing Pearl Harbor.
No, it's a huge stigma for no reason, and that's like that's an obvious evil.
Yeah,
you know, where killing 100,000 civilians, yes, also not the greatest decision, but you know.
Sorry.
Again, maybe my understanding is incorrect. Are you playing Candy Crush right now?
No. I found the clip.
Turn your volume on. And so it was. On December 7th, 1941, the Japanese launched a surprise air raid on the U.S. Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor and inflicted a huge amount of damage. They also attacked British colonies in Southeast Asia. Roosevelt had no choice but to declare war on Japan, and so did Churchill.
has that little clip of little the sticky dart in his foot.
You got to find the part where he first shoots his foot.
Oh, it's the that's the part two. It's in part one.
Okay. Yeah, because he goes, just the foot for now, and it's fucking hilarious. But, yeah, so anyway.
What I was going to say is what people didn't understand, or maybe people don't understand or have forgotten, is the Japanese fighting culture. You know, the classic do not surrender no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, like, Japanese don't surrender. They either commit suicide, die fighting, or they win.
100%.
Those are the three options.
Yeah.
So there was no way, aside from making a statement like that, that Japan was going to back down.
Yeah.
They were losing. They were on the back foot, and they were still, you know, the kamikaze airplanes. They were just, it was just mutually assured destruction happening out there until we took the nuclear advantage to them.
And I think what Roosevelt especially was kind of, or at least the thought process among Roosevelt and the generals at the time, was like, if they're willing to attack Pearl Harbor, you know, and they won't give up, they won't stop, how far are we from them hitting the mainland and, like, hitting L.A. and hitting New York and hitting these massive places where now a lot of our civilians are dying, where we just end this right now?
Yeah, whether it was conventional warfare or nuclear warfare, I mean, I don't know how close Japan was to having nukes.
Japan
or
didn't
Germany
have any at the time.
Right, yeah, but the question, you know, what research might have been going on, what connections may they have had, and it's just, we're very fortunate that's the only nuclear bomb to ever be, you know, the two bombs to ever.
Isn't it, and isn't it kind of surreal that, like, we have used them? Do you ever think about that?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's surreal that they have been used in warfare.
Yeah.
And then everybody was kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, holy fuck. There's a good video out there. It's not oversimplified. It's another one of these, like, funny history creators. And I can't remember right now, but he does, like, a reenactment of the guys who dropped it.
Yeah.
Dropped the first one. Where it's like, all right, our mission today is to drop this bomb over... What was the first one? Was it Nagasaki or... What was the first one?
Hiroshima,
right? He's like, we're going to drop this bomb on Hiroshima, blah, blah. This is our mission today. All right, load up. And they're in the plane. They're flying over. It's like, all right, bomb's away. And they drop it. And then one of them turns the other one before it hits. He's like, did they tell us, like, how big this thing is? And, like, no. and then it hits and it fucking, and the guy's just like, holy fuck. And the other guy's just like, what the fuck was that?
Have you, I'm assuming you have, but, like, the stories of people who weren't in the blast radius but who went blind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just, like, watching a single fighter fly over.
Yeah.
And they're like, what is America doing? That's so, that's the last thing they ever see.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's insane.
What I, little bit on Japan's side that I liked was the fallout that was left from those bombs. The elderly were the ones that cleaned it up because they knew that radiation was a longer lasting issue.
Yep.
And so they sent away all young people and let the elderly clean it up because they didn't have the lifespan to really have it affect them. I thought that was cool.
Sad, but the same
thing. It's super sad, but it's super normal.
A lot of nuclear tragedies have been that way.
Yeah. I mean, well, shit.
All right. Well, that was a...
When should 2025?
Well, if no nukes fly, we'll find out. No,
he's like, I'll decide after November 5th.
The biggest issue is going to be venue. Gotta find.
Do you want to work with them again?
The center?
No.
I'd love to. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
But Gearhead Society is coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
Basically on my invite.
Yeah.
And they're using the center.
I was explaining to my parents because I was like, yeah, Gearhead's coming, which is, like, a big thing. And they're like, who's Gearhead? So I explained Gearhead. And I was like, and they're like, is Trace, like, cool with that? Like, how does Trace feel about that? And I was like, okay, here's how it works. Trace kind of runs this shit. Like, he's the kingpin of the valley. I was like, Trace is the boss. And then he kind of invited them. And it's like a mafia connection where he's like, okay, they respect him. He respects them, you know.
That's funny. That is, like, I'm a nice person. But that is how it went.
Yeah.
It was like a very respectful, like, slow, hey, bro, are we cool?
Yeah.
And it was like... All right, we're cool.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have, and, like, they're going to sponsor the season opener at Meridian Speedway. Then they're going to have their thing. And then we'll decide if the center is overcooked or not.
Yeah.
Because if they do a great show out there and people are like, sick, that was fun, but that's enough for the year.
Yeah.
Then I'm not going to go back to the center because why do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sharkfest, it's probably not going to be at Emmett because the rumor is that track is on its last leg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, like the community hates it. And he's I'm not hearing nothing confirmed, you know. Yeah. I'm not trying to spread misinformation, but all the things I'm hearing and seeing allegedly are pointing to potentially not a great future for that track.
I saw some things about finances.
Finances and Stoney's even. I've heard that Stoney's like the community doesn't want Stoney's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and based on my own personal experiences, I can I can understand why people may not want to work with them out there.
Yeah.
So, but again, if the door was open and they said, please, like, just come out and have an event, like, okay, if the community was cool with it, I'm not going to go out there and have the community try and blow up Shark Fest.
Yeah.
But, meaning Emmett.
Yeah.
But if everything was good, I would attempt it. So that's going to be opener set. We've got some Cars and Coffees already set. But finding a venue for Shark Fest is always the fun part.
Yeah. Are you like, what are your feelings about like a show like Shark Fest being at the same place every year? Is that something like, do you like the solidity of that where it's like everyone goes to the same place every year?
I would
they get
love
familiar
that.
With it.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Cause it takes
so you'd
a lot
rather
of,
that than like different places.
Yeah. Cause it takes a lot of work off my plate. Cause it's just repetition.
Yeah.
So I can grow and add things more easily because the foundation's already laid.
Yeah.
Whereas every time I go to a new venue, it's a new game. It's a new staff. Yeah. It's a new, you know, cost. Stuff like that. Just the most random obstacles that you never know what you're going to run into. So, yeah, if there was a venue here where I could just sign a contract for the next 5 years and just say, this place is badass, the community loves it, I love having events here, let's go.
Have you approached anyone about that idea, like asking to sign a long-term?
Nope, because the temperature changes so often. Like, say I was in a five-year contract with the center and now Gearhead's coming out, you know, now it's like, is that really worth it? Because if Gearhead does an amazing show and everybody's tired of that location... After that, you know, is it worth it for me to be out there? You know, the expo doesn't like car shows anymore, except for the Roadster show, because it's all old people. But you know, that's maybe I haven't thought about reaching back out to them in a while. I might try again now that I've got, you know, the backing of some of the city officials. I got more experience, you know, so maybe I'll try again one of these days. But again, their staff was just not great.
What I'm hearing is we need to build a venue.
Everybody
tells
Trace,
me this.
And then we let it's going to be the best venue. It's going to be much better than all the other venues.
I do need to consider Firebird. I had a good relationship with them over this past year.
I think Firebird's hit or miss in the car community.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
And that's why I haven't ever done it out there.
Tell.
I mean, when I was at IFO, like, and they tried to, like, stretch the show out. We talked about that, I'm pretty sure, right?
IFO
like,
was...
Nobody walked down the whole thing. Everybody wanted to stay there. It was hot. There's no shade. Like,
So that's... I've been really 50-50 on trying Firebird, especially on the cost side. Because from what I understand, they have a weird cost structure when it comes to having the promoter actually make money. But, as always, we'll figure something out.
Oh, yeah.
What? Oh, we have been getting a lot more requests. I think people missed that.
Yeah,
the mall was cool.
So we may do a random closer or
is it? Sorry,
I don't know. We'll probably go back to the mall at some point. It's just I do not make any money doing that show. Yeah. It just costs a lot of money.
Yeah,
like $3,500 just to rent.
Is it possible to put any more cars in there than there was last time? That's their max.
Yep.
What
if we take smaller cars, but twice as many?
We only put Miatas inside.
There you go. Miata season.
We only put K cars.
That's one thing I've been trying to do is kind of like taking the temperature of the scene.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like you guys just did, people are starting to ask about the mall shows again, just naturally of their own accord. And so I'm able to kind of say, oh, okay, well, this might be a hype event again in 25, late 25 or even 26.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, but last time I went to the mall, they displaced me for a circus with like 2 or 3 weeks notice. That sucked. Yeah. I did lose money on that one.
You're a man of the culture. You are a man of the culture.
Yeah. If you could clip anything, could it be how much money I've lost doing this?
Yeah.
But then also
say the amount.
And then, right, and then right afterwards, I'll put the clip where we talk about how much money you make and why you're so rich.
Yeah.
So that it's offset.
And then after that clip, it'll be the Kamala clip. It's going to be boom, 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 canceled, Trace is done. Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm hoping within a year to have all my stuff taken care of that people screwed me on.
In a year, Trace is making 7 figures a year. That's what I'm hearing.
Easily.
Yep.
Let's go.
Trace is,
let's go.
Yeah. Have you, I don't even know where I'm going with this. Have you thought about taking Shark Fest out of state again? Or, no? Never again?
No. It's, not never again. Oh, okay. Just not right now. Yeah. Because it's such a big bite, financially.
Mm-hmm.
And, not saying I would lose money again, but the last time I did do it, I lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Everybody that went said it was their favorite Shark Fest, yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah, Derek agrees.
This guy.
You know, firsthand experience. So, yeah, it was a great time. But for now, I'm just focusing on the scene here. Mm-hmm. I think there is now enough growth and new cars and new businesses that have started up this year.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm getting, like, Boise Fashion Week hit me up to do something.
Really?
Like a collab of some kind. Yeah. So. Well, there's all kinds of opportunities still here that I need to just lock in on and tap
definitely
into.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, dude. And I mean, you're dripping. You're
what's
dripping
weird
today
is...
You got the Canadian jacket. I've dripped. The Canadian jacket. You got the Larry H. Miller Subaru hat. What's your shirt? Welder Up. And the blue pants with the New Balances. I mean, this is insane. Yes.
He should almost own a Corvette.
If you didn't have the hat, you'd be locked into Corvette life right now. Yeah, but yeah, not a Subaru hat.
Yeah. No, but you have the New Balances.
Yeah,
and that
the New Balance is just. Yeah.
I know.
Got wide ass feet.
All right.
Okay. Well, yeah. This. How much time? I got here at 1.
You got here at 1.
We're going for an hour.
An hour
are
and
you
a
charging
half
us by the hour? Is that what you're
thinking? I am actually. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shit. I'm fucking broke already. Can you fucking end this shit?
Yeah, I gotta get this one.
Oh.
No, you're
fine.
Good.
Yeah, you're fine.
We're just hanging out.
I just got another message of somebody that wants to collab just now.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. He's a man of the culture. He really is. He might be the man of the culture.
Does that mean him and Evan from uncultured have to fight?
I think so, because you're a man of the culture. Evan is obviously very uncultured.
Who would win? He's 6'9".
But you're a gym bro.
I mean, yes.
But Evan has that blue collar strength.
Fuck, he does. But you're an
you also have.
But I'm gonna fight dirty.
You're gonna fight dirty.
I guess it really depends on who brings like.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why Derek is not locked up.
Yeah, people lately do ask like my bench and stuff. They're like, "Yeah, bro. So how much you benching?" And I'm like, 150. And they're like, "Excuse me?" And I'm like, "I'm not out here to hurt myself, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine.
I just want to feel good.
Yeah, I just want to be okay with
dude,
what,
the
yeah
people. We ask the people. We talk to the people, and they want you to be fucking. They want you to be as jacked and as like bodybuilder esque as you can be while also hosting Shark Fest.
Who the fuck did you talk to?
That's what they said.
Who
what
said
people,
that?
I'm saying that.
Oh.
It's like we talked to the people. I'm like, we did?
The people.
I don't remember talking to anyone.
The people's me. I think it would be hilarious if you were just like jacked.
If I started doing trend
on
yeah
roids.
That would be hilarious.
And just like walk around the show. Like someone's like, "Can I move my car?" And you're just like, "Shut the fuck up."
I will punch through your windshield. All
right, dude. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us.
Yeah, that was super random.
Yeah.
Now I get to go do laundry.
Are you happy, though? Are you happy to come over?
No, I'm not happy at all, bro.
Why do you...
So
the first episode,
so
it happened to you.
The
second
first
episode, it happened to me. And now it's back on you.
It's funny, though, because now I can laugh about it. The first episode, genuinely, I had, like, nerves. It's a whole thing. When our first few episodes, I was like nervous because I was like, "Oh, it's a podcast. I have to talk."
Well, if you're the host,
yeah,
I can see.
Yeah. That, yeah, and so when you did that, I think I already told you this, but when you like fucked with me, I was like, "You want to talk about Shark Fest?" You're like, "No, not really." And I was just like, in my head, I was just like, "Fuck, I don't know what to say now. I don't know what to do." anyway, all right, dude. Thank you so much.
Yep. Yeah. Little sarcasm is good for yeah people.
Yeah, you want to plug anything?
Toys for Tots.
Toys for Tots. Yeah.
December 7th.
At
Cinemark Theater on Overland.
Sweet.
So bring a toy. I'm going to buy something that people can win. I don't know if it'll be an Xbox again. What would you guys want to win? If you could win like a $500-ish item, because that's what I want
to. I was just about to say that. I was literally just about.
Anything goes. Just,
well, yeah. For the record, Derek said one night with Trace.
Am I just a sex object in the car scene? For, yeah, for the men in the car scene?
As soon as you started hitting the gym, it happened. It got us all going. No, legitimately.
I would do like a sim wheel.
Sim wheel. I don't know how much this would cost.
Well, if you get the wheel and like a full stand. Rig,
like the wheels and, or sorry, pedals and wheel would probably be $500 if you did Logitech. Yeah. Donate? I'll pay you for it.
I mean, yeah. I would donate mine, but I've beat the shit out of
it. I was going to say, that setup I paid $250 on Marketplace for.
Yeah, no, I'm giving people stuff in boxes.
Yeah, well, you gotta, that makes sense. You gotta be in a box.
I'm just saying, like, even when I bought the wheel I had before that, it was only like $300.
I'll do a sim rig. Yeah. The only problem is it's got to be
a console
as universal as possible. Because if somebody, if you give an Xbox and they're like, I only have PS5, it's like, well, here's the gift receipt.
Well, then you just go, well, that's your problem.
That's your problem.
Why do you have a PlayStation?
Okay. Sim wheel, what else?
I think a sim wheel would be sick. I don't know. You didn't get to do, this is just an idea. And I don't know if you could even coordinate this, but I'm just throwing shit out there. Since you didn't get to like let people do helicopter rides, I mean, you could work with them to give a helicopter ride away.
You want to hear something that you can't tell anyone else? You can cut the episode right here.
Yeah, that's sorry, fine. Guys. Okay, goodbye. Love you.
I'm taking my pilot's license training right now.
Nice.
Shit, that's sick, dude.
Not for helicopter, but for planes.
Nice. That's sick.
So one of these days, probably for like spring, I could probably give away a ride in a Cessna or something.
That'd be cool.
a one night with Trace in a Cessna giveaway.
Yeah, that means
and I'll take you to Barbacoa.
For the venue we have to build, we have to have a long enough drag strip that's an airstrip so you can land.
So you can show up in your plane. Did you know? So I don't know if you knew this. I'll just bleep it so we can finish the conversation off right.
Okay.
But I don't know if you knew this. When you build an airstrip, no matter what, even if it's private, you have to mark it. Like with the and clear it with the FIA so it can be used for emergency landings.
Yeah.
Just in case like a plane fucking breaks and they can't make to Boise and they want to land at yours.
Yeah.
And so you have to name it and then that goes on map as an airstrip. And we could name it whatever we want because we're the owners of the airstrip. Yeah. So if we built an airstrip, we could literally call it.
It could be called the Shark Strip.
The Shark Strip. It could be called Trace's. It could be called Trace's Landing Strip.
All right. How about just Jaws? How's that
Jaws.
Sound?
We could do Jaws. JAWS. People are like, what does Jaws stand for?
That it's is
like
how Jaws. You spell Jaws.
It's our airstrip.
No. Dude, but you know, like, okay. Cut. We're out.
Everybody's messing with each other now. We're all funny.